836 News Talk 105 WGM. News Talk Live and Greg Harley. Special guests in the studio. It's time for Book Notes. So get out your pencil and take notes. There'll be a quiz later on. From Quincy Public Library, Katie Krauser joins us. Hey, Katie.
Hey, Greg.
And Katie brought a guest from the Hannibal Writers Guild. Are you representing them today?
I am.
Or are you representing yourself, author,
well, whatever.
Writers Guild founder,
everything else,
Ryan Freeman,
yep,
joining us with Katie, and we're going to talk about literature. And I mentioned earlier, it was J.K. Rowling's birthday, so happy birthday to her.
Happy birthday.
Yay. There you go. She got that writing career going on, doing it upright.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and we love her books, and we appreciate that, you know, she pulled the world together with the creation of Harry Potter. You know, you think about how many languages it has been translated into the movies, now Harry Potter World, you know, just all of those things that have come out of this. And, of course, then the movies about Newt Scamander, the Fantastic mm-hmm. Beast series, you know, really created this universe that I think had not been done as well since probably Lord of the Rings or some of those
and
worlds.
And she really cracked the YA genre. Wide open.
I get it. Yeah. But also, I guess, encouraged a lot of kids to read who maybe wouldn't have found something interesting otherwise.
Well, and, you know, not that there weren't interesting books out there. It was just a lot harder to get them excited about something that had been sitting on the shelf for, you know, a few years. And so when these new books were coming out and it was Harry Potter and he was the same age that they were when they were starting to read these books, you know, it was fascinating and exciting. And you had all that buildup of waiting for the next book to come out and what was going to happen to this boy who had lived. So it really did. It just brought that idea of reading and the excitement of reading and building that own world back into everyday life. And you can see it in the people that now cosplay Harry Potter and they create their wedding themes around Harry Potter. And, you know, it's wonderful. It's really great to see that.
Yeah. And, you know, it was for people my age or whatever, it was like a growing up experience, you know, because you kind of roughly grew up with them. And then the movies came out and you got to do it all over again. It was great.
Exactly. And they dovetailed so nicely because, you know, you can't do everything in a movie that you can in a book. But you get that same feel and the theme of being able to work together with your best friends. You know, even if you disagree, they're still your best friends and they're still going to love you. Mm-hmm. And to help save the way of life as you know it. It's very, very important. So, yeah, just a fantastic set of stories. I want to go home and read them all over again.
Well, there you go. Well, happy birthday to her. And what are you up to?
What am I not up to, Greg?
What are you not, you know, I have two of the busiest people that I know here today. And it's generally like I should just, hey, what's going on? And, you know, I'll run over to Tasty Case to get a snack and you guys just talk and I'll come back in and say, hey, that's the show. Thanks a lot, everybody.
No, well, I first want to thank everybody who was part of our summer reading program. The Quincy Public Library summer reading program was just a phenomenal 8 weeks worth of programming and prizes and people turning in reading logs. And it just seemed like every day we were busy. You know, there was something happening every single day this summer. And so we definitely want to thank all of the sponsors that were part of that. The Bodley Lodge of the Masons with the bicycles that they gave us. That always inspires the kids to keep reading all through the summer, because every time they turned another reading log, they got another chance to win those bicycles. And so that was just great. We also had a Kindle that was donated by Adams Networks, which was fantastic. A lot of the kids chose to put their tickets in that instead of for the bicycles. And then Knapheide Manufacturing, which was one of our other major sponsors this year, and they gave us funding to help support all of the programming. You know, I could not name all of the people that donated to help us get this done. And so if you see anyone who helped put the summer reading programs together, thank them, tell them how important that is to our community, and, you know, really let them know how much you appreciate that, because these were free programs for every age in the community, and we saw great response to that.
And you had some great prizes, great incentives, and you have kids who are going to be readers forever now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we love seeing that. We love seeing that excitement. And, you know, I'll be honest, you know, sometimes it's the little rock bouncy ball, or it's the, you know, the mystery book that they just pulled out of, you know, out of the box, and here's a book for you, and they rip it open like it's Christmas. That to us is the most satisfying thing to see, because we see how it instills that love of books and reading, that that idea that they're going to continue to be library supporters throughout their life because of that excitement and that anticipation that they felt as a young child. So
they'll probably continue to have an imagination too.
Absolutely. You know, and then when we come to them begging for money at some point, they're gonna
they're gonna give you money.
You know, and not that we go begging for for money because there are great grants and there are great sponsors out there. But occasionally, you know, there are times that the library needs funding for something specific. And, you know, to be able to send a letter to someone who we know participated in our summer reading programs as a child, you know, we can go back to that and say, you know, think back to when you loved the library so much that you couldn't wait to get into the building, and think about what it would mean to have your children and grandchildren have that same experience. So, you know, we're able to build on that foundation, and we love that.
Well, and kind of like what you were saying, Craig, what you're doing is impacting people's imaginations. I know we talked a little bit earlier, I started rereading Ivanhoe. And I think I thought about it. The last time I read Ivanhoe, I was in middle school and it was in my library.
Wow.
And I'm realizing now how much that book from my old library in school years ago has impacted not only my imagination, but my writing in turn, you know?
Absolutely. The vocabulary that you find, you know, those eccentric words or those little bits of phrasing that come back to you when you don't even realize it, especially with books that you read at that age. Mm-hmm. And I have not read Ivanhoe, so I'm thrilled that you are rereading it and experiencing that again. But I know some of the stories that go along with it.
Yeah, well, you got to come ready with that book because it's kind of intense. But
yes. But what a great experience for you to be able to come back to it as an adult. And sometimes that's our favorite thing, too. I had a patron yesterday that came in that had read Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark when she was in, you know, middle school, and she wanted it. She found the illustration, and we had that copy of the book, and she wanted to introduce her boys to it. So, you know, just an amazing opportunity to pass that love of reading on to the next generation.
Wow. I'm a skeptic a little bit, okay?
Aww.
Okay, and you were talking about the lady, you know, got all excited. She had that book. She had this kid. I want to share it. I'm going to check it out at the library. I'm back in my head, I'm thinking, you're never going to see that book again.
Oh, great.
But I'm sure you will.
Yes, actually, yeah. she was so excited, and her boys were excited. You know, they were thrilled to be there. And she's going to be back. She's one of those people you can tell she has a deep love of libraries. And so that's what we want to build, not only in the library, but in all of our community activities and organizations. You know, we think of the Hannibal Writers Guild, the people that are coming together to do that, to make that an organization that people want to be part of, or Quincy Community Theater with Mamma Mia, or the Art Center with all of the projects that they do. All of that ties into the idea that we can be part of something bigger than just our own selfish selves.
And everybody has a story to tell.
Yes.
Everybody does. I haven't met somebody under you know, the sun that doesn't have a story to tell.
Absolutely.
Even if they say they have no story, you get it out of them.
You give enough time and there it comes.
Sit there and wait.
Yeah.
Sometimes the act of listening is the most important part.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Now, the big question everyone wants to know is, what's Katie reading? Well, we're going to find out in a minute. 844 News Talk 105 WGEM. Nearly 8:46, News Talk 105, WGEM, News Talk Live, and Greg Harley, both known. The Quincy Public Library, Katie Krauser's here. Say hello.
Hello, Greg. Hello.
And from the Hannibal Writers Guild, Ryan P. Freeman.
Hello.
Hey, and we're talking literature this morning. And Katie always comes in and does a little book report.
Well, and as I was looking through all of the books that I was reading that I was not far enough into to bring today, I had to go back and revisit an old favorite, and that is Rudyard Kipling's Just So Stories. And this is a copy that I got probably 15 years ago with illustrations by Helen Ward. It's on really beautiful paper, and the illustrations are just gorgeous, you know, kind of watercolor feel. But if you're not familiar with Rudyard Kipling beyond The Jungle Book, I will say that his writing is just poignant. Mm-hmm. He just has a very melancholy feel to so many of his stories. And this particular collection was written in 1902. And he himself, Kipling, was born in India in 1865. His father was part of the British Imperial Forces that were down there working and fighting and doing all the things that the British Empire did back in the 1800s. And so Kipling grew up for the first 6 years of his life just steeped in this culture that was presented to him by the native servants that he had. You know, he learned to speak Hindu almost before he learned to speak English. He was just steeped in that folklore, myth, mythology, culture, and the language, the rhythms of the language of those people. And he loved it. He truly admired and was inspired by what he was told at that young age, because that was pretty much the happiest time of his childhood. After that, he was sent to a boarding school in England because they were very worried that the bad climate in India would kill off the younger children and things like that. And, you know, it just, that's kind of where that element of melancholy comes from. He was with relatives that were paid to take care of him. He was in a really, you know, kind of poor school that was full.
Well, he went from freedom in the jungle to, like, closed English society.
Right, and from that heat and vibrancy and life and color of India to the cold, dank parts of England. You know, it just was this huge change for him. And so when he revisited his childhood and he went back to the stories that made him who he was, he wrote the Just So stories. And so they're clever, they're funny. If you're familiar with some of the characters from The Jungle Book, of course, Disney couldn't use all of them in The Jungle Book that they did, but you'll recognize the types of language and rhythms of the story. So, you know, it starts out with things like how the whale got his throat, how the camel got his hump, how the rhinoceros got his skin, how the leopard got his spots, you know, and so they all start out with hear and listen and see, O best beloved, you know, and so you could hear that rhythm of the storyteller. They're meant to be read out loud. And just, you know, there's always a message, kind of like Aesop's fables. There's always a message that goes along with them. But wonderful read aloud stories. Not long enough that you're going to get tired of reading them, but also to introduce additional characters, you know, beyond Jack and the Beanstalk or Little Red Riding Hood, more characters for your children to know and love.
So it's something you read for the kids.
Absolutely. And for yourself.
Well, yeah.
It never hurts to reread those great stories.
Yeah.
Classic reasoning back there behind all of those stories.
Yeah, that sounds great.
It is wonderful. And of course, my personal favorite is The Cat Who Walked by Himself, because cats do that. And yeah, that's, you know.
Well, they do. They walk by themselves. Sometimes they walk with other cats.
Not as often, though. You know, no. Cats are very independent creatures. They like to get the luxury from their humans, but no one owns a cat. Cats own themselves.
And they own humans.
It's true.
They're servants to them.
That Terry Pratchett quote, cats were once worshipped as gods, and they have never forgotten this.
Oh, there you are. Precisely. So what's happened at the library this week?
Oh, goodness. Well, I will warn all of our patrons, you know, after the
it's a warning.
Well, uh-oh. After the busy buzz of summer, you know, when we had something every single day that the library was open, we really pull back in August. And this allows us to recoup and prepare for our fall events, including the Big Read and the Little Read that are coming up in September. And so for the month of August, we are doing our Monday Fun Day evening events, dance parties and process art and play date and things like that. And then we're going to have our regular Tuesday, Thursday story times. But then, you know, the rest of the time, we really need to take that time to plan for our next series of events. So if you're interested in coming to events at the library, those are the days that we have things for kids. It's the Monday evening at 6:00, Tuesday and Thursday at 10:15. And so come to those events. We love seeing you. We love having people there. And then, you know, use those other days just to come and enjoy the things that we have at the library. Come and read aloud to your children, or come and play on the Lego tables and the train tables and the play box, you know, the playhouses and things like that. But, you know, we really do pull back on our programming. For the teens, of course, we always have Wee Wednesdays, and that includes, you know, book bingo and their book club discussion and their tab meeting. And for our adults, we will have all of our regular book discussions and group discussions, Socrates Cafe and Candid Conversation, and of course the movies on Mondays. So, you know, we'll have events, but it's just a lower key.
So coming attractions, what movie do we have coming up Monday?
Monday we are showing a movie called Tana, which is set in the South Sea Islands. It's actually, I believe, an Australian Netherlands movie that was put together. And it's a native tribe in one of the South Sea Islands kind of acting out a story. And it's beautifully done. Really beautifully done. Great.
Ooh,
story.
Cool.
So, yes. Yeah. And on the 22nd of August, this is our big event for August. It's really the only big thing we're doing. We have Mark Moran from Antiques Roadshow, and he will be coming in that day. He is going to do appraisals for people. If you have an item that you would like to have appraised, you absolutely must have a reservation that has been made with Ruth Cuthbertson. You can call her at 223-1309, extension 209. If she is not there, leave a voicemail with your contact information and she will call you back and make a reservation. If you just want to come and watch, you are welcome to do that. There's no reservation needed, but if you plan to bring any kind of an item, you must have a reservation or we will turn you away at the door.
But a lot of people come to watch because they watch it on TV. They don't have items.
And you might have something similar that you would be interested in knowing an approximate price for.
And you may find something you want to buy.
Absolutely.
Although once you find out what it's worth, you may not want to buy it.
So we invite everyone to come and just enjoy that program. Mark is charming and he's just a wonderful man. He also will do house calls. So if you would be interested in that, you can contact the library and we'll give you the contact information for Mark to have him do a house call at your house.
And the date that Mark's here again?
August 22nd.
And that's on?
Wednesday.
A Wednesday.
Yes.
What time?
10 to 3.
10 to 3. So take the day off if you work those hours.
Yes.
And check it out and see a real live TV star.
Yes.
And real live TV star material. All the items people are going to bring.
Yes, it's that always fun. He always has a story.
I always love it when people come in and say, "Yeah, I bought this at a yard sale for a quarter, and it's worth tens of thousands of dollars."
Yeah, we haven't had one of those, but you know, we had some things
worth
a couple thousand. It was exciting.
It could happen. So. Big stuff. Quincy Public Library and Katie Krause are joining us.
Thank you very, very much.
Thanks for coming in, Katie.
Always good to see
you. And we're
going
to talk to Ryan Freeman about the Hannibal Writers Guild.
Mm-hmm.
Find out what's up with that as Book Notes continues on News Talk 105 WGEM 853. News Talk 105 WGEM weather forecast from WGEM, your weather authority. Meteorologist Jeremy Ledford, partly cloudy skies, isolated showers today, 81 for a high, 67 now. It's Book Notes on Tuesday on News Talk Live, News Talk 105 WGEM, and the founder, and it was all his idea to start this up, the Hannibal Writers Guild. It's Ryan P. Freeman, who's an author and you're going to be at the Payson Settlers Day this weekend,
too. Yeah, the
Payson
Settlers
Day. We were talking to Heather mm-hmm. yesterday about that. And you're like everywhere. You come in and you're doing book signings sometimes.
Yeah.
And you got the Writers Guild and you're at Payson Settlers Day. Are you going to be doing book signings down there? Or?
Yeah, I'm going to have some books for sale at the Payson Christian Church photo booth we always do.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, that'll be cool. We'll give a little plug for that so people can go get their picture taken.
Yeah, and it's free.
Oh, okay.
Just come, and it's themed. It's a bunch of fun. And families have been coming for years now, and so you can see, you know, like the kids growing up in each shot from each year. It's really cool.
That's right, and that's where you spend your Sundays.
Yeah, that's okay. Right. I also preach at Payson Christian Church.
Yeah, and he's also got a literary agent now.
I do. Yeah. Patty Carruthers with Metamorphosis Literary Agency.
So cool. So we're going to see you on all those high-end TV shows soon.
Well, you know, if you happen to have an inside track on some of the big five publishers in New York, tell them that my book, Nameless, is coming.
Nameless. Okay. Well, in the meantime, we have local events and Hannibal Writers Guild. It's been going on for how long has it been since you started this?
We started the very beginning of January.
Okay, so we're about six, seven months now.
Yeah.
And it's grown quite a bit.
It has. Each time the Hannibal Writers Guild meets, new people come. And it's amazing to watch. And we've had people that have started coming from all the way kind of near the Columbia area. Somebody drove up from St. Louis. And then people from all around the community, both Quincy and Hannibal, have been coming.
That's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got meetings that people can just show up at.
Yeah, yeah. Our next meeting is coming up August 7th. That's a Tuesday.
That's a week from today.
A week from today, so you got plenty of time to get ready. 5:30 upstairs at the Mark Twain Brewery. And we are going to have Jim Waddell, who is a Hannibal local, and he's going to be talking script writing because he has written in the past for sitcoms, for street performances, for theater, for radio. And he's done a little bit of everything. He's a really knowledgeable guy. He really knows his stuff, and we're really excited to have him.
Wow.
So if you wanted to learn how to write, like seriously, like the stuff you watch on TV, or you could go to a theater and you experience, if you want to say, okay, I want to learn how to actually professionally write a play, come to the Hannibal Writers Guild.
come meet the guy.
Yeah, come meet the guy. And learn.
He's obviously sold some scripts. That's pretty impressive. Yeah. So that's 5:30 next Tuesday, upstairs, Mark Twain Brewery in Hannibal.
That's it.
And it's free.
It's free.
But if you want food and beverages, that'll cost you.
That'll cost you, but it's worth it. They're so good there.
There you go. There's some good stuff. So always good stuff happening in America's hometown.
That's right.
And Ryan P. Freeman, when he's doing that next book tour, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, that's right. And you can find out more about me at ryanpfreeman.com.
There you go. Or you come in and yak with Katie some more.
That's true.
Come in and yak whenever you feel like it. Yeah, doors always open to News Talk 105 WGM. Yeah, let's tell people that. That's the show. That's it. Thanks a lot for listening today. Appreciate it. Have a great day. Enjoy the cool weather. It's 9 o'clock.